What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kinville, and as always, before we get going, we want to let you know, you can, of course, find us on social media. We're on Twitter at Royalty_pod and at Hockey_Royalty, and we're also on Facebook, we're on Instagram, YouTube, and we're just becoming all over social media, everywhere, like spores. But anyways, we're glad to be back, and tonight is all about you, the listener, because you know what? This show just simply wouldn't be worth doing if we didn't have all you guys and gals out there listening to our show, and we appreciate the support we get. And so we put it out on Twitter yesterday. We wanted to see some listener questions, and boy, did we get some. So let's get right into that. Now, first of all, I want to let everybody know Ryan's not here tonight. Ryan's adulting, so he can't be here, but fret not. Don't worry. Because, of course, as always, we've got the Prince of PDO, we've got the Count of Corsi, we've got the Emperor of all things analytics, and the guy who is rapidly becoming the go-to on Twitter for Kings news, opinions, commentary, anything you want to know about the LA Kings. He's the one, he's the only, he is Mr. Russell Morgan. What is going on, Russ?
What's up, Scotty? You got me feeling like a wrestler coming out with my music blaring, bro. I'm feeling good. We got no music. That'd be great. Have our own little theme, like entrance.
Yeah, pyros.
That'd be cool. Hey, I was gonna ask you. Do you catch the NBA trade deadline today? That was some wild moves going on.
You know what? I didn't catch a lot of it, but I heard it was just off the hook.
Yeah. I mean it was funny because I was just thinking, like, imagining if the NHL trade deadline was something like that, and you get like players like Connor McDavid moving for like Austin Matthews like midway through the season, just because, I mean, who knows, maybe that'll happen with what's going on in Edmonton, but it's just crazy to watch the NBA and all the storylines throughout that year.
You mean the Edmonton employers?
Yeah. Ooh, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I tell you, that's incredible the amount of talent that they have that are falling apart. But you know what? More importantly, especially for our listeners in LA, we got a big game coming up on Sunday. And I got to tell you something. I'm 47 years old, and I've been a Rams fan since I was 7. So a 40-year Ram fan. Been a fan before they left L.A., and I've been a fan when they come back. And, boy, am I really hoping that they don't give me an altar on Sunday. What do you think is going to happen with this big game we got coming up?
Ooh, yeah. So, obviously, I live in the L.A. area. L.A. radio, they're really confident, and I think they really should be. I'm picking the Rams to win, and – the thing is, but I really think it's going to be a close game. I think the cover right now, or the spread, is 3 or 3.5. And yeah. I'm thinking about taking the Bengals to cover that spread. But I still think the Rams are going to win by like 3 points, a late game-winning field goal. You watch what Joe Burrow's been able to do for Cincinnati. He's been there before. It seems like he's this calm, cool, totally collected guy whenever he's in the big game, big moments. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really up to – I think the total number for the game is, like, pretty high. So Vegas is expecting a pretty high-scoring game. So I think if Stafford can maintain himself and not turn the ball over or anything, I think the Rams have a good shot at winning.
I hope so. And, you know, I just – as a Rams fan, late-game field goals in Super Bowls traumatize me to even talk about it. So,
yeah, I'm a Charger fan, so I feel your pain.
You get me. But anyways, we're not here to talk about football. We're not here to talk about basketball. We are here to talk about our LA Kings. And like I said earlier, we have just got this wave of questions. But you know what? We appreciate everybody submitting their questions. We're going to try to get to as many of them as we can, but we've got so many of them that it would take a 5-hour show to get through all of them. Seriously. So we're going to start right off. We got one from Larry. He's at Selective Larry, and he wants to know, if Kaliev starts next season in the top six as Blake wants, what happens to Lizotte and Lemieux? And he also wants to know, if Lizotte sustains his current play, does Jad become a trade ship? And, of course, Jared Anderson Dolan. Out of all the soon-to-be RFAs and UFAs, who stays and whose goes? Is Lias done in L.A.? 2023 center predictions? We got a whole mess to get through here. So let's down one by one. Kaliev in the top six. Of course, I think that's the plan, right? Obviously, probably not this season, but next season for sure. So what do you think? What happens with Lizotte and Lemieux?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think Lemieux's kind of – he's played himself into a role, really, with L.A., and it seems like it's a role that can sustain, and there's really no one else that can fill that specific kind of mentality that he brings night in and night out. So, I mean, I would expect Lemieux to be re-signed. I know he's an RFA this season, so I would expect him to come back. And the Kings to bring him back and keep filling that kind of agitator type role that he's been playing so far this year. As far as Lizotte, that's a big question mark. The center position really right now, it's really just the fourth line center position. Obviously, like it seems like it, because we got Kopitar, Danobe, and Byfield now, who's making a name for himself right now in the NHL or getting started. And now, so it's just who's going to fill that fourth line position going forward? Who do you think?
Yeah. You know what, though? It's so – I mean, I think obviously the rest of the season, the job is Lizotte's. Let's be honest. The Kings are either playing to what some expected, but to most, they're pretty much overachieving, which is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. But it's kind of one of those things, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? And as much as we want to see Jared Anderson Dolan get in the lineup, as much as you want to see an Alex Turcotte get in the lineup, the list goes on and on. Gabe Vilardi, right? But – let's be honest, Blake Lizotte has done the job. He really has. And that fourth line right now is one of it's allowing the Kings to roll four lines.
Yeah.
Which is huge, huge. When you're going to get towards playoff time, which honestly, I called this at the beginning of the season. I said the Kings would make the playoffs, and I still think they're going to do it. So development's probably going to be down in the AHL for now. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't going to get an NHL shot. So what happens next season? Of course you move Kaliev up, and of course you gotta resign Brendan Lemieux, because Lemieux brings something to the lineup that they just don't have, and that's that grit and sandpaper. Whether you agree with this tactic sometimes is up for debate. But however, the Kings simply don't have a player like him. And I think Lizotte, his spot in the lineup is gonna depend on what happens in the offseason as to who gets traded, which we're probably gonna get into later on. But you know moves are going to be made. We talked about this earlier in the season. It's a gigantic game of musical chairs right now for the Kings at forward. The music is going to stop eventually, and guys are going to be left without a chair, right? Trades are going to be made, and it's going to depend on who goes as to what happens with Lizotte. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think this kind of moniker of, like, top six that we talk about for, like, Kaliev and thinking about where he wants to be moved up, or the Rob Blake envisions him being moved up into the top six next season. I mean, if you look at it right now, the Kings can be a top nine team. If Quentin Byfield can develop into the player we expect him to be come next season, why not just play him with Arthur Kaliev? And you have a really formidable third line right there with Byfield and Kaliev. All the top six players are going to be coming back next season. They're all signed except for Kempe, who's an RFA and is expected to come back. So, I mean, you have a top six already prepared for the next couple of years. So keep Quentin Byfield in the third line center, and you can have him develop with Kaliev and develop that chemistry together for the future, because they're really going to be the backbone of the Kings offense in 5 or so years.
Oh, I agree with that, no doubt. And, of course, Byfield's going to stay, and that 3C is going to be the obvious perfect spot for him next season. The one question mark that I have, and I love the play that he has brought this season, but is this the real Trevor Moore? Is Trevor Moore really a top six player? Do you maybe start sliding him down a little bit? And I know he's been fantastic. in this, you know, the line with Danault and with Arvidsson, but we're talking next season here. And if you're going to have somebody like Arthur Kaliev, who, by the way, I'm going to tell you something right now. At first, I will be the first one to admit it. I did not agree with having him down on the fourth line trying to play a checker role. I didn't like the move. I did not like that at all. But you know what? It's starting to kind of – you're starting to see where the mad genius is coming into play, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's actually – he's picked up his defensive game because he had to, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think – and this is not a knock against Blake Lizotte, but he's got his defensive game now. Now they got to get him a facilitator.
Yeah.
And I like that idea that you bring up about putting him with Quentin Byfield, because you're probably right. Mm-hmm. You know, the next 10 to 12 years of Kings hockey, you're probably going to see Quentin Byfield and Arthur Kaliev have joined at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get them rolling now? You know?
Yeah. And I think with Trevor Moore, it sucks to say, but I almost think like he'll go as far as Philip Deneau will carry him. And it's not to say that Trevor Moore hasn't been an individually great player these last few games, but I mean, we've just seen what Philip Deneau has been able to bring out of his line mates. And I'm wondering if that's kind of had a little bit more to it. Cause we've never seen Trevor Moore be this of an offensive type player before.
Right.
So, I mean, he's coming into his prime, and this is the type of player that he is, which would be amazing from a Kings point of view if you got that out of Trevor Moore. But right. I mean, for right now, you just have this legitimate chemistry that's been developed with him and Deneau, and it just looks great. And if Trevor Moore can be the same player that he is right now, just keep him with Deneau and see how long you can ride that wave.
Sure, because I mean, it goes right back to what we were just saying. If it's not broken, do not fix it.
Exactly.
Now I mean, and I don't want to bring this up. I'm not trying to jinx anybody or anything like that. We still got a long season left, right? Yeah. I mean, there's what do we got? 35, 38 games, I think, something like
35,
that.
35, yeah.
35, right? So a lot can still happen,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody could hit a disastrous slump, you know, and of course, and again, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it out loud, but we have to. You never know when that injury bug is going to strike. So that could throw a monkey wrench into everything as well. But for right now, there's no way you really make any drastic changes. You can't. Yeah. Because this was the goal all along, right? I mean, I know there are some people out there who say, well, why get in on the eighth seed and get blown out in the first round by, you know, a Vegas or a Colorado? You know what? This team needs to make the playoffs. This franchise needs to make the playoffs. After everything that's been going on for the past few years, all the losing, all the, you know, just the negativity around, you know, the team, the fan base. We need this. Mm-hmm. We need to be playing again meaningful games at the end of April. And if they get beat in the first round, so they get beat in the first round. But you know what? That's going to be valuable experience, invaluable, I should say, for guys like Quentin Byfield, for the Arthur Kaliev's of the world, you know, for the young, like Mikey Andersons, Tobias Bjornfors. All those guys, it's going to be huge just to get some kind of playoff experience to see what that's like, and then to really start loading up for next season.
Yeah, I think Kings management just needs it more than anything, too. But I mean, it's been a successful year so far, and if as long as the development curve keeps ticking the way it is right now, I think it'll be good. So, well, let's get back into some questions. I got one from James Kang. Who do you think are the youngsters that will be on the team 5 years from now? Are we really cup contenders that can give away a bunch of prospects for a cup run this year? I think the second question is really good. I think we should start off with that one. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think, I mean, we've talked about this one before too. I think you can trade anybody not named Quentin Byfield or Brant Clark and get Jacob Chychrun.
I think you got to include Kaliev though. I think you got to include Kaliev.
Yeah. You're probably right about that. But here's the beauty. The beauty about what the Kings have right now, they have so much darn depth in their prospects. And we're not talking about just mid-level prospects. We're talking 4 or 5-star prospects here that they can afford to lose. And it won't change anything, right? Because that we talked about the forwards, but the defense is going to turn into a logjam as well. You're overloaded on the right side. And for a team like Arizona, you can offer them, you know, let's just say, okay, take your pick of, say, a Vilardi, a Turcotte. Obviously, they want a first-round pick. Fine. You know what? Fine. Take it, right? But you also have Helgi Grimes. You've got Brock Faber in the system. You got obviously Brent Clark coming through. All righties. You need that lefty in there. And they have NHL players available on the right side that they can move. You know, and I feel bad for him because he's been kind of forgotten in all this. Sean Walker is on a very affordable contract.
Absolutely.
Very, which is, you know, has to have Arizona's mouth watering, right? So, yeah. And he's, you know what, Russ, he's a good player. He really is a good player. But when you're talking about taking the next step and filling the need and swing for the fences to get the best that you can, I'm sorry, but there is nobody better out there than Jacob Chychrun that fits that bill. So,
yeah. I think with the Chychrun trade, I think it's more, that's more of like a long-term deal. I think if the Kings are making that deal before the trade deadline, they're not really looking. I don't think they're looking at themselves as being legit cup contenders this season. But I mean, you look at the way Chychrun's got three or four more years left on his deal. I mean, right. So you got him for short term, really. And
a great salary.
Yeah. At a great salary. So when I envision like if the Kings are going to trade away a bunch of prospects for a cup run this year, I think of it more as like a rental, and I just don't really see that happening. I think of them maybe trading away like a third, fourth, fifth round pick, maybe like a mid-level prospect for I don't know, a depth forward, more veteran presence if that Chychrun trade doesn't go down. So but the thing, just to answer James' question, I just don't see them throwing away a bunch of prospects to try to really go for it this year, because that's not where the team at right now. But that's not a bad thing. That's not where they're expected to be.
Not at all, because I mean you're exactly right. And the reason I bring up Chychrun is because of that. I don't want to see the Kings give up a first round pick or a top level prospect to get like a Ben Chiarot. Why would you do that?
No,
I mean, Montreal is going to get a first rounder from somebody for him. It just can't be the Kings, because you're right. The Kings aren't in that spot right now. I mean, be honest with you, I think this team can win a first-round series. I think they can sneak up on somebody and take somebody down. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as, you know, I mean, I'd love to see them make a cup run. It'd be fantastic. But, I mean, you have to realistically temper your expectations as well. So, obviously, goal number one, make the playoffs. Goal number two, win a playoff series, obviously, if you can. But you certainly don't want to give up the entire farm to get anybody other than Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's see, is part two of his question. Who do you think the youngsters that will be on this team 5 years from now? Man, that is such a hard. And you know what? It's going to start with the big trade that we keep talking about.
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, as much as I want to say, I mean, you just got to look at really the untouchables, just because of the trades that could happen. Like you said, there's any prospect, because they're all really quality prospects, so you just have to really look at who might the untouchables be 5 years from now. I mean, I look at Quentin Byfield, Arthur Kaliev, and Brant Clark as being like the top three in terms of Kings prospects. I really think the Kings like what they're getting out of Sean Durzi and the way that he's able to kind of build like a camaraderie almost within the team, and seems like a really great locker room guy. So I envision him staying with the team long term and being a really good asset with the team as well. So that's just another interesting fold, looking at the way that the roster is made up right now on the blue line. When you have Doughty, Roy, and Durzi playing the three spots with Clark coming in next year. So what happens? I mean, as much as we want to keep Durzi on the team, not a lot of room, like you mentioned, on that blue line.
There's just only so many spots. You're right. And, you know, that kind of piggybacks into another question. And this is from a literal mouse. That's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm picturing a mouse reading a book right now. But anyways, a literal mouse wants to know, obviously the glaring one is which left shot D-man is going to play here after a trade. We know all that. But this is more on the prospect side. Which prospect should the team be willing to part with the most? Now, so, and this piggybacks, because like I was just saying, or we were just saying, okay, so Kaliev, Byfield, Clark, off the table. Now, we keep talking about Turcotte. We keep talking about Vilardi. But the thing we got to remember is perhaps you can entice an Arizona or whoever they decide that they're going to go after with something deeper down the system. Because don't forget, the system is so loaded that it's top to bottom, right? So, I mean, if you wanted to throw out like a Martin Kromiak, right? Team's looking for some center help. Francisco Pinelli. I mean, I'm not advocating to trade these guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is it's not just the Turcotte and the Vlaries of the world. You can dangle, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many available that it's just ridiculous.
It's hard to pick one or two.
Right.
Or even just exactly. Like three or four. I mean, Scott Wheeler just came out with his article of the Kings being number two in the NHL in their prospect pool. And they're fighting for they're legit playoff contenders this season. So it's just a great position to be in for the Kings. But I mean, if you're looking at what prospects would the team be willing to part with most, I mean, it's just about you at that point, you're just kind of hoping that you're giving quality and you're getting quality in return in the trade. So if the Kings can dangle like an Alex Turcotte, just looking at the center position right now, I mean, that's kind of been the name floated around in terms of a chicken move. Or even I look at also in the blue line. I would think maybe like a Tobias Bjornfoot would be a big ship. I've always thought that's a player that Arizona would be looking at because of his chemistry with Victor Soderstrom on Team Sweden at the World Juniors a couple years ago. So yeah, I mean it's hard. It's just hard to pick. It's just hard to pick.
And here's the other thing too. You know, ideally in an ideal world, the Kings would be able to get away with giving up more draft picks. Them prospects because they proved it at the draft last year. They're really not looking to load up on picks anymore. We're beyond that stage. I mean, look what they traded. Well, they had 10 picks, but they consolidated that into six. So, you know, I would fully believe that they would be willing to I hate to keep going back to Arizona, but obviously that's the hot button issue, right? So if they were to turn around and say, well, we want your first round pick this year and give us your second and your second next year, and we'll just take one of your prospects. I think the Kings would be willing to do something like that.
100%. 100%. I mean, look at what the first round pick isn't going to be as important as it has been the last couple of seasons. No. I mean, right now, I was just looking at the standings. The Kings are probably looking at like a 15th, 16th overall pick right now in the league. So, yeah, that first round pick is definitely going to be a trade ship, not for a rental. I don't think that's where the Kings should be at right now, but. Come the offseason or come draft table, we could see that pick moved.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, my friend.
Our boy Richard Sarabia, good old Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry.
Got a couple, he's always throwing out some good ones. Which players – he's got quite a few of them here, so I'll try to just pick a couple. Which players are you expecting to remain hot after the break? What do you think, Scotty?
Boy, that's a good one. I fully expect Philip Deneau to keep up what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Fully expect that. I can tell you who I'm actually kind of a little nervous about. I'm worried about Kempe. And I know that's kind of blasphemy to say right now. I know.
I don't think you're the only one.
But I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, I've seen this movie before. You know, I mean, he's having a fantastic first half of the season. And you know, maybe he's past that stage in his career. I hope he is, obviously, of course. But we've also seen him go into streaks of 10, 12 games without a goal. And right now, the Kings, for better or for worse, are relying on him to be a goal scorer. They really are. So, I mean, that's – and I don't mean to be the Debbie Downer, of course. But
jinx.
Yeah, I know, right? you know what? You know who else I expect to pick it up a little bit more too, even though he's been playing fantastic, is Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah, I agree.
Victor Arvidsson has never met a shot he did not like. I forgot who said that, but it was hilarious. I just laughed so hard, but it's so true.
Yeah, I feel like Victor Arvidsson has that like Wayne Gretzky motivational poster on his wall that says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and he looks at it and he like bows to it before he leaves his room. And then he goes up on the ice because
I'm
dude, this guy
to take a shot from the locker room at some point.
Dude, this guy will shoot from he'll shoot from the hallway if he got the chance. I mean, but it's exactly what the Kings have needed, really. A person who's willing to take that shot. I mean, because you never know. The Kings are really looking for anything and everything in terms of goal scoring, and it's been helping. And we're noticing that chemistry with Deneau and Moore. And I wrote an article, I think it was early January, like it, to expect a big second half of the season, because he's putting up career high numbers in shooting. He's putting up career high numbers in high danger percent, high danger chances. So the chances are there. It's just he's just had a really low shooting percentage compared to his career average. So if he can get back to the average, I mean, there's no real reason why he couldn't get to 20, even get close to 25 goals to, at the end of the season. So I expect him to be one of the players to remain hot in the second half of the year. But for your Kempe point, though, I think this All-Star game was really good for him, and it was almost like, okay, I'm around guys like McDavid and like whoever else was there, Stone and all those players. Like, I'm one of them now, and I think that'll be something that he can carry over to the second half of the season.
You know what we don't talk about anymore? Is, oh, are we going to find anybody to play with Kopitar? Isn't that magical how being able to roll four lines like this made all that go away?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, Kopitar is like our left wing one has been under our noses this whole time.
I know. Who knew?
we just had to be a little patient.
Yeah. Well, listen, when we've been suffering as long as we have, it's hard to be patient, okay?
Exactly.
But you know what? He actually, Richard's got another really great question I was looking at here, and this is fantastic. He says, which first-round playoff matchup would you like to see for the Kings?
Ooh, I mean, from a storyline point of view, you just have to look at Calgary, right? I mean, yeah. Earl Sutter, yeah. Trevor Lewis, Milan Lucic. And then it's almost – and they play a really similar game. So, I mean, you're looking at games, the old Daryl Sutter adage is – it's a 3-2 lead. You're looking at 3-2 games a seven game series that's just like 3-2 each game. And
who could forget to Chuck versus Doughty?
Yeah, exactly. There, you're missing the biggest one. So, yeah, that would be the most entertaining one out of all, I think. And the best one for the Kings to compete, too. I think they'd be able to compete against the Flames. I think they'd be able to compete against a lot of the top teams, just as long as they don't face Colorado.
Right. Well, I think they're going to have to finish in the top three of the division. I just – something is telling me that's going to have to happen, to which point we're either going to get probably a Calgary or an Anaheim. Mm. What a slugfest that would be for first-round picks, two versus three, right? Mm-hmm. If they end up in a wild card, I can actually see them playing Vegas. And honestly, I would not mind that. I really wouldn't. I think at this point in this juncture, for one thing, the Kings owe them. They owe them for that four-game sweep last time we were in the playoffs. Okay, a little payback. Okay? And I think that actually L.A. matches up very well with Vegas. They'll probably have Jack Eichel back by then. I understand that. But even with Eichel back, the Kings are stronger down the middle. And everybody knows that to compete in the playoffs, you have to be strong down the middle. And that's a huge advantage that the Kings have. And yes, I know Vegas is, you know, putting up the points like they always do. But to me, they're not the scary Golden Knights that they were last year or the season before. So to be perfectly honest with you, if they end up in a rematch with the Golden Knights, I am good with that.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how the chemistry works with Eichel and how he comes back as a player. I know that's the other thing, too. Yeah, and there's the rumor today that they're going to be placing Mark Stone on LTIR to make space or make room in the cap for Eichel. So that'll be interesting, especially since Stone was just at the All-Star game, looking like he was pretty healthy there. But he'll maybe pull in the old Tampa Bay Lightning.
Kucherov.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Stone, we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens with Vegas at the end of the season. all right, I think back to the questions. My boy Colin Peters, this guy, he's a great follow. He's always got great insight. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you think the Kings are looking to bring in a skilled forward to smooth out the third line, such as a Garland, to make a playoff push? And will they only go for a forward if they can't get a D-man?
I don't think so, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't. It would be nice to have Connor Garland. Don't get me wrong. It would be great, right? But why would you do it? Because, again, it goes back to what we were saying. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Now, and again, broken record time, of course, injuries can change all this and necessitate. And plus, the trade deadline's late this year. So there's still a lot that could happen in between now and then. But here's the thing, right? you've got four lines that are rolling, absolutely rolling right now. And I don't want to see them give up any type of high-level prospects or high draft picks to get – I mean, yeah, Garland signed to, what, four more years, I think, something like that. But does he necessarily fit into the plans, right? Because if they really wanted him that bad, they could have had him. Think about it. They could have offered better than what Vancouver was offering to get him to begin with. And, I mean, it's a great question. It's a great thought, right? But you know what, to at the trade deadline, if you ever noticed – that every time somebody acquires a big-time forward, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out. You give up all this draft capital and prospects, and it just nothing, you know?
Yeah,
you think I think Rick Nash trades, the Taylor Hall trades. You know, it just it never seems to work out.
Teams just feel, like, pressured. It's just they're pressured into making these, like, really outrageous-type moves. So, yeah, those big deals, especially with term or, I mean, in more of a, like a desperation move. If the Kings do bring in a forward, I could see it being like maybe. I mean, I could see it being a rental, but I don't see it being like a top six like scoring forward rental. I think of it more like bringing a forward who can help on the penalty kill kind of player, like what Vegas did with Yarncroak, I think last year. That kind of depth piece, I can see that depth forward move being made for the Kings.
To be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't mind seeing him bring a little more grit in. I would not mind seeing that at all. But yeah, I just, like I said, it's now is not the time to push all your chips in on a forward, especially because they're so loaded forward. Yeah. But I understand where he's coming from. I get it. Yeah. I know that poor kid. We're going to have to talk about him in a little bit. There's no doubt about it. But let's see. I have got one here from Adam Foskey. Adam wants to know, what are the Kings going to do with Turcotte, Vilardi, Vegemo? Hey, there you go. There's Vilardi. The Kings' top two lines seem set for next year unless Kempe doesn't re-sign. Also, Blake said the Kings need Kaliev in the top six next year. We covered that. And you have to assume Brownie is back. Players are going to have to move out, but who goes? Now, there's some interesting stuff to break down there. So let's start with the first part. And we've already talked about this. Turcotte, Vilardi, Vajimel. Which one of those three is likely to go? I guess we'll go with that because one of them, at least one of them, is going. You know that.
Yeah, I think for the rest of this season, it's I don't know. We'll dive into Vilardi more specifically later. But as far as which one can go or which one will most likely go, like I mentioned, I think it's going to be Turcotte just because of the value that he still brings. He has that top five pick attached to his name, he can develop into a great player. You look at it. He's just always going to draw that. He's just going to draw that comparison to Zegras, just because of where Zegras plays down the road here. And that's kind of why like Kings fans are like pushing to see more out of Turcotte. But he's looked good. He's looked good in Ontario, and I think those three players will stay in Ontario, possibly for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think Turcotte can actually be like another Kings number five overall pick and Braden Schenn eventually down the road. I really believe that. But
it's a
good
comparison.
Yeah, and I think with Turcotte, he needs to be somewhere where he can get the playing time. Let's be honest, with LA right now, he's not going to get the playing time that he needs. And if it means going to, you know, someplace that's in a rebuild that can maybe center around him a little bit, I think that would probably be the best thing for him. Even though I would hate to see the guy go, but I mean, it depends, of course, on what the return would be. Let's see, top two lines.
Just to continue on what Adam said, I don't think you can undervalue the experience that a player will get from the Calder Cup playoffs. That's a playoff environment in itself, and I think to have those three players playing for the Reign, a strong Reign team, I think that'll be more beneficial for their development.
Yeah, because what would you rather have? Would you rather have them playing in a Calder Cup playoffs or be in like the what is it called, the Black Aces for the Kings in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, really, what would you rather have? Of course you'd rather have
I'm sure they'll be down there, but I mean for right now, just keep them with Ontario. They're looking good and they're developing some good chemistry, so keep that
absolutely
going.
I do want to say I don't think there's any doubt that Adrian Kempe re-signs because he is an RFA, by the way. So, it's going to be one of those if somebody wants him. They're not going to have to pay him the coin. they're going to have to pay us the picks. And I don't think
and Blake's given no indication that's not going to happen, and he's got arbitration rights, so don't expect anything to happen before the season. Right. I would expect probably something after the end of the season.
Sure, absolutely. But the real interesting one to me in this question, he's talking about assuming Brownie stays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a 100%. As much as I love Dustin Brown, he's been my favorite King for forever, it feels. But I don't think that we can assume that he stays.
Yeah, that's the – it's just been – like, if you ask that question – say you ask that question at the end of last season, you'd be like, of course he's staying. He's the leading right. scorer on the team. And now you look at it this year, he's almost – it's been unfortunate because he's, like, flipped a switch. He's not producing on the power play at all what he used to be doing. And you're almost kind of looking at it like, can he continue to keep playing those power play minutes? So it's kind of strange that he hasn't re-signed. I don't know. I feel like that should have happened by now. I don't know. But I think I don't see him being traded is what I don't see.
I don't think they're going to trade him. You almost have to wonder if the bumps and bruises of playing he's an 18th season, I think. You have to wonder if the bumps and bruises are starting to catch up. Because, I mean, he's not one of those guys that plays on the perimeter, right? I mean, he's in the corner, he's banging, he's hitting all the time. And again, it goes right back to what we were talking about. Too many forwards, not enough mm-hmm. chairs. So when you get into the offseason and you're starting to look at your lineup and you're going, wow, we'd really like to get Vilardi in, or we'd really like to get Turk out of spot, you know, anybody, take your pick down in Ontario, right? Is keeping Brownie around for 8 minutes a night going to be worth keeping them down in Ontario when you don't know what they're going to be able to do at the NHL level without getting them up? That's what I mean. So, Rob Blake's going to have a big decision to make. If Brownie wants to keep playing, I'm sure somebody would resign him or sign him, of course, because you can't mm-hmm. replace that kind of veteran leadership with everything that he's been through and has done. He would be great on a contender that's about to, you know, go over the top, but needs that extra depth piece. Whereas the Kings are in just a little bit different of a situation because there's so many pieces there already.
I think that'll be probably one of the bigger stories of this offseason, besides any trades that the Kings make, is what they do with Dustin Brown. That'll be something to watch in the summer.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, Russ, I would hate to see him go somewhere else, but I also wouldn't blame him in another sense if he was going to be able to go someplace and get more playing time. Because, like I said, I just think that there's not enough room, and I hate saying that because I love the guy. But it's just unfortunate, kind of one of those time is money and money is time, right? And they need money being player spots. So they need to be able to do something to create those roster spots. Just as long as he doesn't go on and sign with somebody like Vegas or San Jose or Anaheim, I'll be okay. Nowhere in the Pacific Division.
Exactly.
But no, that's...
back to the... We got another one here. Ryan Stahl _, he writes, is the organization still high in Vladimir Kachev? Oof. I'll let you start off with that one, then I'll throw in my answer.
I don't want to break your heart, my friend, but I don't think they are anymore. I really don't. Reason being, if they were, they would have had him up by now. You know?
Yeah.
That's just a given. If they were that high on him, he would be in LA right now, not in Ontario. With his professional experience he's had over in the KHL, for whatever reason, they just don't seem to be, let's put it this way, as high on him as they were. And it's a shame because, I mean, he's a very exciting player to watch. But again, overload. That's going to be the word of the night here. Overload.
Exactly. And I think that's a theme that we're kind of developing here is I think they were kind of envisioning him to be like this jackpot, really, like this 10 team parlay where they put in $5 and hey, We got a good prospect over in Russia. Let's just bring him over. Hey, maybe he turns into Kaprizov. Who knows? And we didn't see that happening in the first couple of games. I mean, he had a couple points, but he didn't really fully flash. And this isn't to say that he can't still be an NHL player. I mean, he just only had four games in the NHL coming straight over from the K. So, yeah, if it's not going to be with the Kings, I can definitely see it happening with another NHL team. Like you said, just it's overload, project overload. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there's just some players that are higher on the Kings pecking order than others. And you know what? Let's just get this out of the way right now. Let's talk about Vlahos since
Vlahos seems
to
do it.
Let's just go. I feel so bad for Gabe Vlahos because I was thrilled when the Kings drafted him. Living where I do, upstate New York, I do occasionally get some Frontenacs news, Kings from Frontenacs, and you know what? You could just tell he was a dynamite player for them. Of course, you know, we don't need to rehash the whole injuries, whatever. But the thing is now, what do you do with him? I would actually love to see him try a Vlahos, Byfield, Kaliev line. I would love to see that. Because could you imagine having two facilitators like Byfield and Vlahos are with a sniper like Kaliev? But for whatever reason, and you know, I'm not trying to start rumors or you know, stir the pot up or anything like that. It just kind of seemed like Coach McCollin is just kind of soured on him. For whatever reason, you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We have no idea, and I'm not even going to speculate. You know, and things happen sometimes. They just happen. It is what it is. But you can't put him on the fourth line. I mean, yeah, it worked with Kaliev to an extent, but I don't see, you know, Gabe Vlahos as a fourth line player and keep him there. There's no way. So you got to find a spot in the top nine. What do you do?
I think I'll say this about Gabe Vlahos. I don't know if there is another prospect in the NHL that's gone through more than Gabe Vlahos in the last 3, 4, or 5 years. You think about
absolutely
his back injury, everything that he went through. He loses a full year. He comes back for a couple games and has to leave again. And then he comes back, has this roller coaster high of emotion where he has his first NHL goal in his first shot. I mean, you're and you get 10 points in 7 games, and he's just rolling, or 7 points in 10 games, whatever one it was.
Yeah.
But he's just rolling.
Just incredible.
And then he comes back last season, and it just wasn't there. And it was almost like the coronavirus and the lockdown, it almost seemed like it took like a mental toll on him. Because you notice him in the press conferences that he's just like kind of down and doesn't really have the energy. And
he lost his confidence.
Yeah, and he lost his confidence. It was just strange to see after the flash that he showed the year before. But now we're seeing a more confident Gabe Vlahos develop in the AHL. And especially on the wing, which is a great sight to see from a Kings management standpoint with the way the center position is locked up right now. And sure. Yeah, like if what he's got 27 points in 25 games in the AHL right now for the Reign. He's killing it. I think he's got like 5 points in his last 3 games, something like 6 points in his last 3 games. He's doing amazing, and it's on the wing. So if let's say Brown doesn't come back, or maybe Brown comes back on a short term or like a low contract and plays the fourth line, you switch Kaliev, and then maybe, I mean, that left spot is open with where AA is playing right now. I don't really envision him coming back. You have that third line spot right there. And I really liked what you mentioned. Quentin Byfield with Arthur Kaliev and Gabe Vlahos screens production to me.
It sure does. There's no doubt about it.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I mean, sign me up for that anytime, any day, for sure. But will he get called up this season? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Unless, again, there's an injury bug that hits, I think he spends the rest of the season in the A. I really do.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to be good for him. I think it's going to be good. Like I mentioned, the Calder Cup play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the Calder Cup run that the Reign are potentially going to be on, there's no doubt that playing huge games, and not only huge games, but playoff games, because everybody knows that everything does change in the playoffs. Suddenly you're not so freewheeling anymore. Now you're more tight defense checking. You know, every game is huge. So for him to be able to get those kind of minutes and that kind of game experience in, no doubt in my mind it's going to be a great experience for him to be in the AHL playoffs. Not a doubt. So let's see here. Anything else we want to hit? Anything else at all? Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know it out there in listener land, the Oilers have a new head coach. We were chatting about that before we started recording.
There's been quite a bit of happening. Brock Faber got his first point this morning. That was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Didn't really expect the Kings to get a U.S. Olympian in return for Tyler Toffoli in that trade, but hey, they'll take it.
You know, let's take a look at that trade now. I mean, you know, now that these years later, I mean, they're saying that Tyler Madden is actually looking really good, starting to come back into form, right? I mean,
just another prospect.
Another one to add. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And yeah, Brock Faber, my God. I mean, this guy, yeah, you don't want to put too much stock in the Olympics. But the way he's on his trajectory right now, there's no doubt that he's going to be a solid NHL player. Not a doubt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good on Brock. Good on you, Brock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep going. Go USA.
Yeah, absolutely. USA. USA. Oh, boy. Well, my friend, I think that's about all we're going to get through for this time around, because like I said, we could be just sitting here talking for 2 hours, but nobody wants to listen to us talking for 2 or 3 hours. You know, we're a good 45-minute compact show here. So again, we want to thank everybody who sent questions in and has been just listening and supporting the show and supporting our website, hockeyroyalty.com. Check that website every day because, you know, we're right in the middle of a rock and rolling King season, and we got some great stuff up there every day for everybody to check out. So, Russ, any closing thoughts?
No, yeah, like you said, we can't thank our listeners and our readers enough. I mean, we all started this not envisioning what it would turn into, and it's been an awesome ride, and we're happy that the Kings are actually starting to play well this season as well. So we're looking forward to it, looking forward to the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, hey, listen, that's all the time we got. So tune in next time. We're probably going to put one out, maybe next week, I think, right?
Yeah, why not? Right now?
Yeah, I think next week. There'll be plenty to talk about because our Kings don't play until the 15th. But, you know, that's another thing, too. Oh, God, such a long wait. But don't worry, we'll be back next week when they do. So thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. So for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings, go!